Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Thomas Milton, and it's Thursday, everybody. Thursday, February the 15th. I don't know why I keep saying Friday. I guess I'm hoping Friday will come on. But welcome to the Verna's Health Foundation Metroplex Bus. Thank you for being my guest tonight on this show, and we are honored this evening to have Mrs. Christina Milton Crane. Christina is the founder and president and CEO of Unlocking Doors, and they are based in Dallas with offices in Harris and Tarrant County. So, Miss Christina, are you there on the line? I see you. I think this is your number.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Well, thank you for being my guest tonight. You see, I kept saying
thank
Friday.
You.
I don't know why I've come saying Friday. I guess I'm on Friday. Hurry up and come.
I understand.
Okay. Christina, listen, I am so happy that you came on my show this evening. But most of all, I'm so happy that you accepted to be one of our living legends that we're going to be honoring in June. I have known your family and known you and Nate for an awful long time, since 1980. I think I met him in 1985 or 86.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time, and I was just so happy that when they nominated you, I said, oh, my goodness, yeah. So when you accepted, I was so happy to know that we're going to be honoring you on June the 8th. You're one of the living legends that we're going to be honoring. So thank you again for that.
I am honored.
Well, we're honored to have you. But tonight, I want you to let everybody know a little bit about who you are and about your family background and about you being, you know, because you are were you born here in Dallas?
I am. I'm a third generation Dallasite. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about you and your family and everything about just who you are.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it, Verna, very much, and thanks again for having me on tonight. Like I said, I'm a third-generation Dallasite, born and raised here in Dallas. Grew up in Oak Cliff. I went to Kimball High School and then ended up going to UT undergrad and Oklahoma City University School of Law and came back to practice law here in Dallas. My family has been long involved in community and engagement and politics. My father was the Dallas County Treasurer for 32 years. My grandfather was a judge here in Dallas County for a number of years before that. And just, you know, community service is really at the corner of what we do as a family. And so being involved with you, Verna, it's just a real honor and a privilege because you really exemplify what it means to give back to the community. And I think that's what we're really about. I got started with working with the criminal justice system back in 2001 when Governor Perry appointed me to the Texas Board of Criminal Justice. I had no idea what the board did or what I was getting involved in. But in 2003, he appointed me as the first and only female to chair that board. And it gave me a real unique opportunity to look at the criminal justice system in our state, what we do at the criminal justice system, looking out for public safety, but also what are we doing to help those individuals who are being released from prison back into our communities. And that's about 70,000 plus people a year. And so knowing that individuals are coming back, what are we going to do to help them get back on the right foot make sure that they have a good, secure future, because it helps all of us at the end of the day when they do.
Okay. You know, Christina, first I want to tell your parents I said hello.
I will.
I hope that, did you tell them that you was going to be on my show today?
Yes. I love it.
I want to tell the world about who your dad is. If y'all ever have gone to a Prairie View and Grambling game, the first voice you hear with that grossy voice, what did he say? I forgot what he said, but he's always the one to introduce, I think, the football team.
Yes, ma'am. But, yes.
Yeah, because he has that big, heavy voice, Mr. Milton. His name is Mr. Milton, and let him know, and he will remember me anyway. But the last time I saw him, we caught a ride with him and your mom, me and my husband, because we was too tired. I couldn't walk anymore, and so I told him, "Hey, stop that cart," and he stopped the cart for me. He said, "Hey, Vernon," and we hopped on the cart with them and rode all the way into the fair park. We was parked in the parking lot where they were.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So I've been knowing your dad a long, long time, too. I really think he's a wonderful, wonderful person. So tell him I said hello, and your mom, too, as well.
Will do, for sure.
Yes, ma'am. Christina, I wanted to ask you also about your criminal reentry work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
How much does it cost to have an ex-offender in Texas? What is the cost that we are having to be at for every prisoner? What is the cost for that?
Great question. On average, in Texas, for what I call the general population offender, someone who doesn't have major medical needs, et cetera, it costs us close to $70 a day. So if you amortize that out, you know, over a year span, you're getting, you know, up there. And so if you think in terms of, you know, what if somebody is reincarcerated over and over, what that does to our tax base, you can imagine how much money we end up spending just reincarcerating people.
Right. So your reentry work helps them to keep them going back all the time.
That's right. What we try to focus on is, you know, getting a good paying job that's going to be sustain their future, making sure that all the needs are met to keep that job. So transportation to and from that job, a place to lay their head at night so that they can rest and be ready to get up and go to work. Medical mental health treatment, make sure that, you know, they're healthy. If there's child support, all those different things. But we know at the end of the day, they're not going to keep that job unless we make sure that all those other needs are being met. And so, you know, it's really important for individuals who come to us and say, you know I don't want to go back, but I don't know what to do, that we're able to, you know, open those doors for them and give them those opportunities.
Right. Okay. In your reentry program here in Dallas, helping people that may have a felon on their background. I mean, like some of the things we do, legal work. We have legal workshops a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of people that comes to our legal workshops is trying to find housing. They can't get more. If they find a job, then they don't have nowhere to go. So
right.
Because people don't want to house them because they have a felon, or they are a felon.
Mm-hmm.
So they get angry, and because they have to go into motels and stay in motels, and they miss much, much higher. So what do you have in your program that help them, or can you all help them get, like, apartments or housing, decent housing, besides, you know, having to go to motels and things to stay?
Right. Absolutely. I will tell you, housing has become the number one issue. And really that's simply because there's not enough of it. And especially in North Texas with the housing boom that we've had with so many people moving here, apartment complexes that we used to be able to use, all of a sudden those are being rented out to the masses who are moving here. And the landlords can make a lot more money if they're renting it to somebody who's moving here from California or New York. So we do have to deal with some of that. But I will tell you that there are a number of boarding houses that are specifically for folks that have a criminal background. There are, other tenements that are being put up that we coordinate with that will, depending on the criminal background of the person, we can get them housing secured. There's HUD programs where, you get a voucher and you're able to actually go out and, secure housing as well. We help with that. The big issue becomes when someone has specific crimes. Sex offenses are very difficult for us to get housing for. That's just the nature of the beast. Anybody who has been in charge of a meth lab and certain kind of drug crimes are difficult. But pretty much everyone else, we can pretty much, help them. And it's, important to your point that they get that housing. Because at the end of the day, unless they have a place to live, they're going to end up on the street, which means they're just going to go back to the life that they had before. And we don't want them to do that. We don't want them to become desperate and go back the same way they came.
Well, one of the things that one of the ladies was telling us at our workshop is that they have so much crime. There's so much crime going on in these hotels till they end up going back doing crime because they're around crime all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what they have. That's what they're subjected to right now. And it's heartbreaking to not be able to tell them how they can actually. They say, well, we finally got a job. It's running, but we don't have nowhere to stay. Nobody would give us, help us with a place to stay.
Right.
So oh my God. I mean, I can imagine what you go through with, and we only have our legal workshops maybe once every 2 or 3 months, but it's an everyday because they are still there. They're still calling. They still want to know how can they get help. So I really thank you for coming on tonight. Now, in your program, your program has something like it's a unique model called reentry brokerage. What is that? What does that mean?
Right. So we are not what's called a service provider. In other words, we're not providing that service. We're not giving you a job. We're not giving you transportation. We're not giving you medical or mental health treatment. What we are built to do is to look at you as the client in a holistic manner. We are built to do a full assessment, determine all the risk for reoffending, your needs, skill sets, very much like going to your doctor. So you think about when you go to your doctor as a patient, and the doctor's going to do a full workup on you, and it's going to determine all the different needs, all the different things that maybe he or she doesn't feel are going right. And then the doctor's going to refer you to specialists for different needs to be taken care of. So think about us being like the doctor. We're going to do a high-level assessment to determine all those needs and what talents you have, what skill sets you have for a job, et cetera. And then we're going to refer you to all the different partners that we've brokered relationships with so that we're unlocking those doors for you and getting you where you need to go, whether that's an employer, whether that's transportation, whether that's medical mental health treatment, counseling, whatever it is. And then we're going to monitor you, much like your doctor monitors you with the specialist, getting those needs met. And the other thing is, just like your doctor, you may not always need your doctor, but you're always a patient. And so once you're a client with us, you're always a client. We know that you're going to hopefully get through your plan that we've put together for you, all the referrals we've given you. You've set your goals. You've met your goals. But we also know that at some point, you're probably going to need something else. And so what we've done is built a rapport with you so that then when something happens, you lose your job or you get kicked out of housing or your car breaks down or whatever it is, instead of going back down that path of crime, you come back to us and you let us help you secure whatever those needs are. And so we're very different from that standpoint. We're looking at the person from a holistic standpoint, making sure that all the needs are being met and that we're getting you in a place where you can really find a future that's sustainable and is going to lead you to a good life.
Okay. So, like, for instance, if they need medical and mental health, you contract that with Parkland or something like that, or with the doctors
there
at Parkland?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
Parkland, UT Southwestern, you know, any of the other hospital districts, we actually have brokered partnerships with those groups.
Okay. Now, with your housing, you broker with different, you contract with a different apartment units or different people, or just how do the housing work?
Right. So, again, it's just like all the other needs. We're going to contract with housing authority or our tenements, apartment complexes that actually are background friendly, meaning that they will accept someone with a background.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work with the city of Dallas on their voucher program, Dallas Housing Authority, different groups like that. We work with to make sure that those vouchers are available for people that qualify for vouchers. We have a lot of boarding houses
uh-huh.
for people that have criminal backgrounds where they can go and stay, sometimes temporarily, but sometimes on a more permanent basis where they're paying room and board or they're working, doing certain chores at the boarding house for their room and board. So we have a variety of ways of getting housing. Like
okay.
I said before, housing is the number one issue and hardest, but we still are able to work through it.
Uh-huh. So if I had, maybe for instance, just for instance, if I had five rent houses and
uh-huh.
I wanted to maybe and put people in there with vouchers to make sure that they are paying my rent that I wanted them to pay, how do I contact
right.
you or what will I do?
Well, you'd have to be on a program with the city of Dallas. You'd have to contract with them. And, you know, assuming that you are qualified, then we would be able to work with you through that. So,
okay.
you know, that's something you've got to work through the city because you have to be certified to receive the vouchers.
Okay, so that's only the city of Dallas. How about the city of Garland or Mesquite? Do you work with them too as well?
Yes, any city. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I'm learning that you are in Tarrant County as well as Harris County. So
that's right.
They can, if they are in Houston, they can
mm-hmm.
get help from you as well.
That's right. Yes, they can contact us either at our, you know, we've got an info line, info@unlockingdoors.org. They can email us at any time. That goes into our inbox, and we will respond to you and let you know. Just tell us where you're located, and we will connect you to resources that can assist you with all your needs.
I see. So that's in Tarrant County as well. That's very, very good. So people
Thank
who may
you.
Have these rent houses in Tarrant County on Grand Prairie, I know a lot of people with rent houses, and I don't know if they
mm-hmm.
Got them registered with Section 8 or not, but you're telling me that they have to be registered with the cities, not so much with that a HUD program?
Yeah, both HUD. It depends on what voucher program you're going through. This,
mm-hmm.
For instance, we do a lot with the city of Dallas simply because they have a large voucher program, but you know, clearly they can go to the any housing authority can assist them with getting registered as well. So, like, there's Dallas Housing Authority, Tarrant County Housing Authority, you know, any city would be able to direct anybody with boarding houses or rental homes to the right way to apply and get online to do that.
Okay.
And we can assist anybody. If somebody wants to call or email us, we can get them to the right people as well.
I see. So what number should they call, Christina?
So my main number, you would ask me that. Of course you would ask me that. And, of course, I don't call that number all the time. So let me pull that up.
Okay. But now, so, they can email you as well as call you for make an appointment, or what do they, you know,
yeah,
what do they do?
Actually, yeah, what they can do is they can call me directly, which is 214-215-8152. Or they can email us at Unlocking Doors. And let me give you, I'm going to also give you my work number, because you can always call our work number, which is 469-587-7852. And then they can always email us at info, at unlockingdoors.org. And
okay,
that will get them directly to our info line, and they will be contacted by somebody at Unlocking Doors to walk them through next steps.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. And you're located here in the Dallas area. Your main office is in Dallas?
Right. Our headquarters is here in Dallas, and we're located at the corner of I-635 and Greenville Avenue. Our building is the High Point Center, and we're it's 12225 Greenville Avenue, Suite 850. And we do take walk-ins. We love to have you contact us to schedule an appointment. If somebody out there is listening and wants our services, or if you have a family member or friend you'd like to get our services, but you know, we also take walk-ins as well.
Okay. Now, Christina, I want to know, how did you really get involved with criminal justice? And I know you was appointed, but, you know,
right?
I know there's a lot of young ladies and even men who have children. When they go off to prison, they have to leave these children with different people, and some of those people have not made a will, or they don't, I mean, because the reason why I'm saying is because I get this when we have our workshops. They don't have a will if they go off to prison, who to leave their children with. Their children is just left with people that they may not really want their children to be with.
Right.
What kind of program do you all have to help parents with their children, you know, that's in the world?
Right. So actually, when I was at the Texas Department of Criminal Justice chairing the board, we created a program called Go Kids, and it's an acronym for Giving Offenders Kids Incentive and Direction to Succeed. And if you go to the TDCJ website, you can go on to Offender Services, and there is a Go Kids website. And what it does is it has a compendium of resources for individuals who are caregivers for children of offenders. Many times it's a grandparent or an aunt that gets left with children because the mother's gone to prison. And what people don't realize is that when a mother goes to prison, their children left behind. That's not always the case when a man goes to prison. Many times when a man goes to prison, they haven't shown paternity for their child, and you know, you don't have the same issues. You're not leaving children that are being cared for behind. And so you're right, Verna, that many times when a female goes to prison, her children are being left with a family member. But if a family member is non-existent, then the children are being left to the state, and they're in the foster care system. And so what we've done is compiled this compendium of resources from both a local, state, and national level for anybody who's a caregiver, finds themselves being a caregiver for a child who whose parents have now gone to prison. And it really gives them a lot of in-depth resource on what, how to care for the children, what to do, programs they can put the children in, because one thing we don't want to happen is we want to try to break the cycle. We don't want the children repeating what their parent has done.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, so that is a big resource that I would direct people to. The other issue becomes the parent who's now incarcerated, you know, how do they deal with the fact that their child is, you know, out there in the free world being taken care of, and how do they bond with that kid? And I will tell you, TDCJ has done a fairly decent job of trying to allow bonding with the parents, so that, you know, in visitation rooms, programming that has now been put in the prisons to allow children to be able to communicate with their parents better than they used to. There are programs like the storybook program, which allows a parent to read a book on tape, that the tape is then sent to the child so that the child actually hears their parent reading to them. So there's a lot of good programs like that that have really helped keep the bond in place. Because one thing that a lot of people don't think about is a lot of times the parent is going to be coming back fairly quickly. They're only incarcerated for a couple of years. And you want to try to keep that bond going if you can, so that when they do come back, they can just reunite with their child. The third thing I would talk about is once the parent is back, is released and back in the community, many times they have to then get legal counsel to help reunite themselves legally with their child, because many times, you know, either temporary or permanent custody has now been given to someone else. And that, we help a lot with the legal aspect, connecting parents that are now released trying to get their children back. So we connect a lot of legal services for those kinds of things. And so there's a lot of things that can be done, a lot of resource out there. It's just, it kind of depends on the circumstance, but we're here to help in any way we can.
Yes, yes. That's very, very good. You know, I don't even know why I got that job with the Sheriff Bowles. When Sheriff Bowles was here, I wanted to work so bad till he gave me a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I wanted to be a bailiff. And I don't know, I never did become a bailiff. I ended up starting my business while I was working for the Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
One of my businesses, rather. But while I was there, so that's what, you know, I tell people all the time, sometimes when we do not know why we are in a position, God put us there for a reason. It happens for a reason. Because
that's,
I
right.
never would have thought that I would have been in a county jail, hearing those doors bling and boom, and, you know. And,
yeah, right.
And everybody was telling me, they said, do you think you want to do that? I said, well, I don't really know. But after they taught us how to fight off an inmate, how to break a knee, and how to, I said, oh, my God. So I told Sheriff Bowles, do you think I can do all of that? He said, Vernon, you have to go through that training before you can. So I learned a lot of things that I did not know before. But
sure.
The best thing that I learned is that everybody that's incarcerated has a soul, soul, and they are good people. Caught up sometimes in bad situations and at that time. But I never will forget this young man who was in there. He knew he was going to prison. But this attorney
mm-hmm.
went his mom to sign over her house to him. And I told mm-hmm. that lady, I said, you know what, please don't get that child to sign that. You know, and so
mm-hmm.
I ended up in trouble because my lieutenant said I was trying to be a caseworker instead of an officer. Christina, I almost got fired again. I said, no, I'm not. Don't let that lady give that lawyer that house. So I told her, I said, darling, come up here every night if you want to see your son. We will make sure that you see him. She said, well, I just want to be able to hug him before he go. I said, well, he'll be back. Don't do that. Don't give up your home. So
right.
And what I did, I enjoyed being a caseworker, I guess, being in jail. And I just take these people to Parkland. And Christine and I would see this girl, and she would, and I would be praying with them. I said, you know what? You can get off of that crack. And because when she told me she travels all the way to the Galleria, when she stops by to get her an eight ball. I said, well, what is an eight ball? I didn't know what in the world she was talking about. And then she told me, you know who she, what kind of job she told me she did? She helped people get their eyes examined. She filled prescriptions.
Oh, my gosh.
I almost fell over. I said, what do you, I said, but you don't know how many people act as if you have messed up prescriptions.
Oh, my gosh.
Me and her laughed all the way back to her, I mean, back to jail when we took her back. But it was so funny how I learned so much about being an officer. Yeah, in the jail.
Sure.
So what I'm saying to you is that I'm never afraid to talk with them because I know they're human beings.
That's
and
right.
They're in trouble that particular time for a reason. And so sometimes when they do these drugs, these crack cocaine drugs and all this type of stuff, they're not in their right minds.
Right.
So and they make mistakes.
Yep.
So I
that's right.
I just, I mean, I'm so glad you're on our show. And I'm going to tell you something. This is being recorded tonight. And if anybody's listening and want to go back and re-listen to this particular show, they can always just pull up our podcast on Block Talk Radio. And you can hear this particular episode again. So, Christina, we have a lot of people. Us, a lot of people standing up, I mean, listening to us on the line. And if any of you want to talk with Christina or myself, just push the number one. That way I can bring you in to the studio and talk with her. But if you want, if you're listening and want to talk or have a question for her, just push the number one and I can see your hand. But meanwhile, Christina, as we continue, I just want to talk to you. I saw that you had so many women in this particular unit that's in Gatesville, and they came that to you. Talk. Let's talk about that a little bit too, and what all that's about, and what the young lady doing there.
So, when you chair the Texas Board of Criminal Justice, the agency typically will name a unit after you. So, I'm very honored to have the women's unit in Gatesville, named the Christina Melton Crane Unit. It is the largest female unit in the state. Over 2,000 women. It is an amazing facility with a lot of great programming. There's a culinary program there that for many years the former chef at the Pentagon was the chef, teaching the women culinary skills so that they would have a great skill when they went, you know, left the prison. There's a faith-based dorm where women have applied to get into the program, and they have Bible studies and all kinds of great programming there. One of the things we started when I was at CDCJ was a program called Patriot Pod, and it is a dog training program that is led by a wonderful woman, Lori Stevens, who lives in Rockwall. And she helps the women learn how to train dogs to be given to disabled veterans. And a whole curriculum was put in place. The dogs are trained there on the unit. They live and sleep and 24/7 with the women who are each given a dog to train, part of the program. And then at some point, two times a year, I think it is, the veterans who have applied and who are getting one of the dogs come and spend 2 weeks in Gatesville, actually, you know, acclimating with the dog. The women offenders actually work with the veterans. And it's just really a great program. In fact, I heard one woman who was in the program say that, you know, she felt it was a wonderful, the best thing possible for her, because she was in, she's in prison for life. She's not getting out based on her crime. And she said, you know, what this done is given me the ability to give back to someone who fought for the freedoms that I took advantage of. And it's just a really great program. You know, I try to go to the unit as much as I can. In fact, I'll be there in March for an event because I love walking around, talking to the women. To your point, Verna, you know, these are just people like you and me that have a soul. And, you know, for whatever reason, they've gotten caught up in something that has made them, you know, land where they are. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Some are worse than others. And, you know, choices get made, and that's why they're where they are. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they're not people with feelings and that sort of thing. And so to the degree that we can provide any kind of hope, any kind of opportunities, any kind of, you know, comfort, care, I mean, it's just, it really just warms your heart to be able to go in, be able to witness, and, you know, to your point about just being in the Dallas County Jail, I mean, it's the same premise. So I love going, love talking with them, I love sharing, and it's great. It's great work.
You know, Christina, we have some people who has raised their hand, they want to talk. But before I bring it on, but let me tell you something about I love working in the jail system, because sometimes when I would go to work, I would have people waiting for me to come to work, and I'll have my lieutenants them will tell me, Thomas, you got some inmates there in so you need to go by there before you. And I would go, I said, well, why haven't y'all taken care of the problem before I got here? And because they knew I cared about them. So they wanted me to take care of their problem. And I used to, I mean, but I look so forward to that. I mean, these were sometimes young men as well as young ladies. But listen, we have a caller, and this call is coming from area code 713, and your number is ending with 0179. Are you on the line? Hello?
Yes, Linda. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
This is Marilyn.
Marilyn from Houston. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hello. I'm listening at this conversation, and I had to stop everything and just say kudos to both of you all for linking up. This is some valuable information. Mm-hmm. I am a former Texas Department of Corrections nurse.
Oh, my gosh.
That has gone on to continue in nursing, move into business, and now have a cybersecurity business. I ran the pill line, and I worked in solitary confinement here in Houston, Sugarland, actually, location in Jester 3. And, ma'am, I have had the occasion to visit your women's prison here in. Yes, I have. When I was training for my role, they brought us up there, and I have even had friends, unfortunately, that have landed there from murdering their husbands.
Yeah.
And I was stationed there near the base.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes. And so I know I never got to tell you this part of my life, Verna. I just want to say it's wonderful to hear your voice. You picked a wonderful show to be on to educate and empower people about what is really going on out there. And I just think it's wonderful that there's rehabilitation and hope being fed into our prisons for people so they don't give up. And I just want to thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for what you do and what you've done. And kudos to you for your service. You know, frontline healthcare worker. I mean, and I actually, before I was chair of the TDCJ board, I actually managed the Health Affairs Committee. And you guys, I mean, Dr. Linthicum is, I just love her to death. And, you know, what you guys provide at TDCJ, and I know you've gone on to do other things, but Thank you. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. It means an awful lot.
Yes, it sure do. And Merlin, you're so busy there in Houston. I know from Sugar Land to all over. She and in fact, she's got an award out of Washington, D.C., Christina, because she helps veterans, women veterans.
Wow.
Did not know how to get their benefits and how to go to get in business for themselves. You know, I am so thankful, Merlin, for what all you do there in your organization and how we met. And thank you for calling in, too. I want to say thank you, too, because, I just love everything that y'all is doing there in Houston. And keep up the good work. I'm going to be praying for you, and you pray for me, because I know what we're up against. I mean, it's a lot out here.
Sure, and will. And we are up against a lot of battles, but we've won battles before. I've been a soldier my whole life, and so have you.
Well, we got another caller here that's been, and Christine, I'm going to get as many calls as I can. But Merlin, don't go away. Keep listening. And I'm going to keep you on, but if you just, whatever you do, kind of be quiet in the background, because I'm going to keep you on in case you want to come back on, okay? Hold
yes,
on.
Ma'am.
I got one more caller I want to take also. Hello, caller. You're calling from 4211, last four numbers, 4211. Hello?
Oh, good evening, Ms. Verna. And Ms. Crane, I just want to tell you this has been such a great and very informative show tonight. I just love this whole talk that you're doing tonight.
Thank you. I wanted to
ask a question. We do Unlock Your Vote, and I started working on Unlock Your Vote with Joyce Ann Brown, the late Joyce Ann Brown.
Oh,
and,
Joyce. Yeah.
Yes. And so I was wondering over at your organization, Unlocking Doors, are the individuals the formerly incarcerated, able to register to vote?
Yes, ma'am.
They are. And because I would really love if you would keep our Unlock Your Vote logo and everything over at your organization.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to do that.
I will speak with Ms. Verna and get the information so we can get the information to you. And then also, I didn't know if you possibly were aware, Sheriff Marion Brown, we started working a couple of years ago on getting some type of Unlock Your Vote program at the jail for Dallas County. And she actually has held two elections. During the two elections, she's had polling locations so that those that are incarcerated in the county that have not been convicted yet, and they're just there waiting for trial, they're able to vote right there on election day.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great.
And so she's done it twice. So we didn't have to worry about doing the absentee balloting process.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Well, yes, get the information to Verna, and I will look you up as well, but I'd love to get that over to our office so that folks know. Yeah.
Thank you so very much. So
thank
I definitely will get that to Ms. Verna. Just keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Have a great evening.
Thank you. And thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that.
All right.
Okay. Christina, it's so much to do out here.
I know.
It's a lot to do. And
there is.
We stay busy in our legal clinics and a lot of things that we do. I'm so happy that you, along with the nine other living legends, is part of our annual. We do this annually, and we annually do this because of the country club. I had a young man who is on that board over there who wanted to help us, and he never did tell me his name until here recently. So he said, come to the country club, Verna, you know, and let's try to help raise you a little money. So I never have been able to raise a lot of money, but whatever we raise from that annual fundraiser, we always put it in our budget to help us do a lot of things, such as if we don't get any donations for our backpacks. We do clear backpacks.
Oh, got it.
We started that back in 2014. campaign and advocating for clear backpacks back then. So we love doing that to try to deter the crime in some of the schools. But whatever we gain or receive from this particular event on June the 8th, I want everybody to please come out, get your tickets. I think the tickets went on this sale this week on Eventbrite. I'm not for sure, but that room is not that big, Christina, but it's a very elegant event, and it will fill up very fast. And I think it holds maybe like 300 people. So,
nice.
You know, the seats are limited. But I thank you for accepting to be one of our living legends. And this is why I wanted each one of you all to come on the show, because you all wouldn't have this kind of time to tell everybody there about who you are. This is a global podcast. In fact, folks can hear you in California. They can hear you in New York. They can hear you all over the world of what we're doing right here tonight. So I applaud you for everything that you have done, what you're doing, and what your future holds for helping people that's been incarcerated. One of the things that that's coming through also on my phone texting, we get text messages there, and well, they wanted me to ask you about Mr. Sherman. He have a program or something about putting air conditioning. Do you know what they're talking about here?
No, Mr. Sherman. No.
I guess he's Senator Sherman or somebody who.
Representative Carl Sherman.
Yes, for the in other words, he's advocating, I guess, for air conditioning for the inmates. Do you know anything about that?
I do. Representative Sherman, he's a lovely man. He's a pastor as well. For years, you know, most of the Texas prisons are not air conditioned. We are the largest criminal justice system in the United States. And for years, the units have not been air conditioned. There are very large fans that are in the units, except for the psychiatric and some of the health units. Those are air conditioned for medical reasons. So over the years, many representatives, many legislators have filed bills to try to get the units air-conditioned. And it becomes a political issue because, as you can imagine, when they're limited dollars and you have things like children's education, health care, other issues that come up, unfortunately, a lot of issues that deal with the prisons get put on the back burner. And although I think you and I and many people on this podcast would agree that, again, these are humans, and we need to be mindful of that, and they're in our care and custody, which means we need to make sure that they are taken care of appropriately. Not all the people that are in charge or making the laws or dealing with the state budget are going to have that same thought. And so I applaud Representative Sherman. He attempted to get that through the last legislative session. It failed, just like it has many times before. It won't be the last time that you'll see it come forward, because I think as we progress and people get more knowledgeable about the prisons and people and what we do and don't do and the fact that they are in our care and custody, you're just going to see that attempt continue, and it really comes down to how much money is in the state budget and where do people's priorities fall. And I will tell you, sometimes it becomes, again, you say many times, and you said it tonight, Verna, that we have lots of work to do. One of the things is to make sure people understand, again, these are people in our care and custody. These are still humans. These are still people with souls. No matter what they've done, we have to be mindful of that. And so, again, I applaud Representative Sherman, but yes, it failed. And I don't think it'll be the last time we see a bill like this. Whether it will pass just depends on who's in office.
Well, I know being an officer, those officers have to suffer too, especially if they have to be in that, facility with that inmate, unless they're in visitation. That's the only place that has air conditioning is in visitation.
That's right. That's right.
Everywhere
that's
else
right.
is hot. And but I wanted to tell you something, Christina. One of the things that I had proposed one time is that to encourage and give them hope, like maybe a STEM program when they get out of prison. Because one young lady was telling me how she knew how she learned in prison how to braid hair, and she's a very good braider. She knows how to braid fix hair. So I was telling her, I said, well, you know how to do that. Why don't you go in business for yourself if you can't find a job? She said, well, who's going to hire me? I said, no. I said, if we had gave you a microloan, could we teach you how to start your own business, your own beauty shop, and possibly you can, you know. So it gave her hope. She began to start thinking about what I was saying. She said, well, I know two more girls who would go in with me. They also do hair. Right. If a person can learn how to run a machine such as a cleaning machine, if you're working in the cleaners and you've been in TDC, you know how to press, iron press, that same thing you learn there you can do when you come into the world. So there's cleaners that will hire you. There's businesses that you can go into. So I try to encourage them to just keep the hope. Hope.
Yes.
All they have, and man, it's hard, but I love talking with them. I love working with them, and so anyway. But Christina, we're almost out of time, and I know that I have really enjoyed this interview. I hope everyone who's listening to us have enjoyed it as well. We have learned a lot. And one of the things I heard you say, because I also on your promoting you for this event, I saw that, you know, Faith Johnson, very good friend of mine, Faith. And I go way back in the 80s too. And then I saw my friend named Kendall Culpepper told me she's been knowing you for 35 years.
Oh, my gosh, Kenda, yes.
Okay.
I love Kenda.
You love Kenda. I do too. Well, she's the DA out of Rockwall, and Faith was the DA once up here in Dallas County. So they're both fantastic women. And I believe it or not, I bugged them. I texted both of them tonight and told them to listen to our show.
So, I love it.
So they're on the line somewhere, but they're listening. But I texted both of them and said, you better be on the show tonight because I'm going to call you out. So they are listening.
Funny. Oh, my gosh.
But
both
anyway.
Wonderful women.
I want to thank everybody for listening this evening. And Merlin, are you still on the line? Do you have anything else to talk about? I mean, say to Christina from the Houston, from Travis County down there.
Yes, I'm still here. I do have a quick question. Are the women in the prison eligible to learn about entrepreneurship?
Yes. There are some entrepreneur programs that now are being made available to women. A number of years back, we started the PEP program, and it's a great program, but it was only for men for a number of years. And now the women are actually able to work through the entrepreneurial program. We're thrilled about that because one thing I noticed when I first came on the board years ago is we do a lot of industry for men. It's easy to do that, but we weren't really great for a number of years in putting industry in place for women and training them on things that were really going to be, it doesn't mean that a woman can't drive a truck, doesn't mean that a woman can't do construction or manufacturing or warehousing, but that's why I think the programs like hospitality, embroidery, braille, all those different things are great because we want to give lots of options to both genders. And so I love the fact that now they finally seen the light and they're bringing on entrepreneurial skill sets for women, and we're seeing a lot of good stuff coming out of that. So great question. I appreciate you asking that.
And that is called Coral Women. Christina, what did you say, Verna? It's called CORE, C-O-R-E.
No, it's not a specific program. It's just that in several of the prisons now, there are entrepreneur programs for them.
I see.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Okay.
Well, if we have not, I don't see anyone else. We have a full board tonight, but no one else has raised their hand except for those two. And I just want to thank you, Christina, because I know it's a lot that you could have been doing this evening, but you took time out to be on this show. There's a lot going on tonight. And I want to thank you. I want to thank Rick Perry for appointing you. And how do one, for instance, before I go, how do one who may want to become a member of the Texas Board of Criminal Justice? How are they picked? Can you tell us
right.
that?
Well, yeah, it's a gubernatorial appointed by the governor. It's a 6-year term. Anybody who's interested in serving can fill out, go online to the governor's website. The appointments segment of the website, and fill out an application and, indicate that they're interested in serving on the Texas Board of Criminal Justice and submit it to the appointments office for the governor. I've been fortunate enough to have, besides that appointment, several others. I'm serving currently right now as an appointee by Governor Abbott to the UT Board of Regents. And, you get a lot of great opportunity when you serve the state on a board or commission. You get to meet a lot of people you would never meet otherwise. You get to see a lot that goes on in our state. You get to make lots of decisions that affect a lot of lives. And I will say that board in particular, TDCJ, to me is extremely invaluable. It really changed my life in a lot of ways because it gave me an opportunity to see something I didn't have anybody in my family that had gone to prison, other than being a lawyer and working around the criminal justice judicial arena. I'd had no experience in the area, and so it gave me an opportunity to really look hard and fast at a big element of our society. And to your point, Verna, we don't always know why we're chosen or put into certain positions. That's not our choice. It's really God. And, we just have to run with it. And, of course, when I got off that board, I realized, this is the kind of work I need to be doing. But for that experience, I wouldn't be sitting here tonight. So.
How many prisons is in Texas, do you know?
Yeah, there are 110 facilities, along with several other private facilities. So there's a lot. There are a whole lot. Like I said, we're the biggest criminal justice state in the United States.
110 prisons. And how many of those is federal?
Those are all state. I haven't. I'm not counting the federal. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a lot of more questions that we could ask, but I don't want to open up those cans of worms and stuff. But I want to say this to you, sweetie. Thank you for being on our show again. And
my pleasure.
Do I have another person here? I have one more person who...
Okay.
Let me see who this is. Okay, let me take this one more caller. And this caller, go ahead with ending in 4095. Hello?
How you doing, Ms. Verna?
Well, hi. How you doing? How you doing, Mr. Mallory? It's good to hear your voice.
It's wonderful to hear your voice. Congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I haven't gotten it yet. Don't tell nobody. They're gonna
forget. Oh, sorry.
They're gonna forget that took me after June. But thank you so much.
You're okay. Welcome, Ms. Vernon. Thank you so much for having me a guest, and thank you so much for all you do for our community, man. I don't know where we would be without you.
No, well, thank you. Thank you.
Lovely.
My question is, for those that are interested in opening up private facilities and helping individuals, how do we get started in it?
Oh, gosh.
Good question.
That is a big question. I think, are you talking about housing or?
Everything that the state does. How do we do?
Got it. Yeah, you know, that's a very long conversation. I think, you know, there are a number of groups that they get private funding and then they start their own business and then they get introduced to the state and the state takes them on. I would direct you to look at some of the private companies that exist so that you can kind of see how they've gone about getting started. Usually it just takes, you know, getting some funders to come in and invest and then, you know, replicate what is going on in the public sector. We can definitely get you some resources. I can funnel those through Verna to get to you. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research on that. But, yeah.
Okay.
That would be wonderful.
I would love
to do my part and help out any way that I could.
That's right. That's okay.
And, Darian, one of the things I do know, and Christina may tell us, your company has this seasoning that, I mean, in every prison, they have a kitchen. So how do you get your seasoning into those? Because, see, they use seasoning on their food. I mean, I do know they don't use a lot, but they use some seasoning. Every prison has a huge chow room in a kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how do he get his particular seasoning on board for Texas?
So, you know, that's going to be the group, the division at TDCJ that does all the food and agriculture and all that sort of thing, because that's going to be a procurement thing. So that's going to be, you know, and again, Verna, I can funnel the information to you on who would need to contact for that. Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you just one thing. Once you get on with TDC, that's a good contract. You know, Christina, I had a contract with Michael's unit down there one time for boxes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Everybody don't know Michael's unit. That's where all the, what is it, the meat is done? And,
it's for the meat packing, yes. The meat packing,
yes. I had that contract for so many years, and I really did good at doing that contract. I really did.
Sure.
So
no, that's right.
What I'm saying to you, there's some opportunities out there working with TDC.
That's right. You can register as a hub. You can register in different ways, but it'd be a procurement situation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely can get the contact information for you to be able to, you know, talk with them and figure out how to get on board. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to open up my hand to all of my ideas here, but we definitely need to contact and get in touch, Ms. Brown.
Okay. We do a lot of free business workshops, too. And I haven't really had nobody from the state. It's always the federal government. But what I can do is to get someone from the state level, from TDC, to come to our next workshop. That's what we'll try to do for you, Darian, because they have a huge budget, and they do a lot of work. So, we will invite them up for our next business workshop. Okay? But listen, we got to get out of here. I thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Verna.
Well, thank you, Darian, for calling in. I appreciate you calling in. But don't tell nobody else.
We got some work to do. We got some work to do, Ms. Christina. Let's get it done.
Ms. Christina, let me tell you something. They got someone out of Atlanta have got me a big White House. Achievement Award they're going to be trying to do. But I told them I don't want to hear about that until after I finish with my June event. So I'm trying to keep that under the grass right now until after.
I love it.
I do too. God is so good, Christina. He has been so good to me. And I just want to tell everybody that please keep me in your prayers, because that's why I have this podcast on as audio, not video. Because I can be sitting here talking to you with my rollers in my head. You can have your rollers in your head. We can be very, very comfortable. So I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
But
that's
listen,
great.
We're going to have to get out of here. I know our time has us. Our time is, has come to an end. Get back with you, Christina, and I'll be talking with you after tonight. And
that sounds
everybody
great.
Who has questions, just send them to me, and we can I can talk with Christina about them too as well. Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much.
For having me on. You're lovely.
Thank you
for everything.
All right, and thank you for being my guest.
Good night.
Good night.